This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyy al-kareem, wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'een amma ba'd. So, as everyone should be aware of, there was a major earthquakes that took place earlier this week in some of the Muslim lands. And tens of thousands of people passed away. Many more have been displaced and are in facing a lot of problems. And I want us to just reflect on this a bit for today. I think it's important that when things like this happen, we take a moment to reflect and to understand what is going on and to take lessons for our own lives from it. Well, last week, I mentioned about the importance of telling our children the truth about this world. Not lying to them about death, not lying to them about the fact that life is a test, that bad things can happen. And I said one of the reasons we should do this is so that we prepare them for when things go wrong. That they are mentally and psychologically prepared for some time in the future if something goes wrong. Because there are things in this world that are beyond our control. And this is one of those things, right? The issue of natural disasters is something that is beyond human control. Now, a question that comes upon the minds of many young people is, why does Allah allow these things to happen? Why does Allah allow earthquakes and floods and riots and all of these things that cause destruction? Why does Allah allow these things to happen? And it's quite interesting that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was creating humans, the angels asked him the same question. Why are you creating something that will cause bloodshed, something that will cause problems on earth? And Allah simply replied, I know what you do not know. And this means there is divine wisdom. There is divine wisdom behind the things in this world that we can't understand. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed things to happen that to the human eye, it seems like a bad thing. It seems like destructive. But from the perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it may be different altogether. So number one, we must learn to trust Allah's qadr. Right? We must learn to trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for us. And whatever we go through in life, it is the qadr of Allah. Number two, we have to understand that life is a test. And if bad things don't happen, there is no test. The verse I mentioned last week, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ فَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us. He doesn't promise us a life of peace. He doesn't promise us a life of ease. He promises, he says, I will definitely test you with fear and hunger and loss of lives and loss of wealth and loss of efforts. So give good news to those who have sabr, to those who are resilient. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to test us. And our life in this world is a test. And everyone's test is different. And it's important that from a very young age, we raise our children with this understanding that life is a test. We're not always going to get what we want. And sometimes things will happen that we don't like at all. Things will happen that are very physically harmful to us. But we still have to always move forward and try our best to pass the test of life. So how do you pass the test of life? Number one is that you do not allow the trials of this world to affect your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important thing. That whatever goes wrong in life, whether it is the death of a loved one, whether it is a natural disaster, whether it is losing your job, losing your reputation, whatever it is, you don't allow it to affect your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you remain committed to the obedience of Allah. That you remain committed to working your way towards Jannah. Number two is that we respond with sabr, right? That we have resiliency. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sabr is in the early moments. It is when the calamity strikes, how you react. That is when you are supposed to have sabr. Not 10 days later, 1 year later, but immediately in that moment. And this is something we have to prepare ourselves for psychologically. If something had to happen to us, how would we react in the moment? Would we react with sabr? Or would we say things to Allah that's not befitting? You know, some people, when the trials of life afflict them, they say things like, why is Allah doing this to me? I'm a good person. You know, they say things like, you know, I heard people say things that I can't even repeat over here. And this is not the way a Muslim should react. Rather, we should go through life understanding that life is a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that khair wa shar, good and bad, are both tests from Allah. Good and bad are both tests from Allah. And so our life goes through various phases. There's the phases of goodness, where we are tested. Will we continue to worship Allah? Will we control our desires? Will we remain persistent in our good deeds? Or will we be distracted by our success? Will we be distracted by the access we now have to fulfilling our desires? This is the test you have during the good times. And then during the difficult times, your sabr is tested. Your tawakkul is tested. Your iman is tested. And some of the early Muslims used to say that they found the test of the difficult times easier than the test of the good times. Because during the difficult times of life, you've got no choice. You have to have sabr. You need to pray. You need to make dua. You need to ask Allah for help. That's the only way out of a difficulty. But during the good times, it's so easy to just get caught up in this world and just enjoy this world and to forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would actually prefer the tests of the hard times, because that way their relationship with Allah was stronger. And that was what was more important to them. So why do these things occur? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow things like earthquakes and floods and hurricanes and tsunamis and all of these things to occur? Number one, life is a test. This is a way of testing us. Number two, you know, it's a way of taking people back to Allah in two ways. Number one, taking the souls back to Allah, because when your time is up, your soul goes back to Allah, right? And number two, bringing people back to Allah, meaning someone who may have been negligent or living a life that is displeasing to Allah, when things go wrong, they may make tawbah, they may change their life, they may become righteous. And so that calamity for that person becomes a blessing. It becomes the moment of change. It becomes a moment of going back to Allah. And on this point, I want us to understand something about death, right? That as Muslims, we have a very different understanding of dying and death from other people. A lot of people look at dying as, they look at it as a punishment or an evil. How can so many people die? But as Muslims, we don't look at death as a punishment or an evil. We just look at it as a transition from this world to the next. That's what death is. Every soul, when they come to this earth, it is written the day they're going to die. Every single soul, it's written the day they're going to die. None of us are going to live a moment longer than what's written. So death is not something that we should ever look at as in of itself as being evil, or in of itself being harmful, or in of itself being a punishment. Rather, it is simply someone's time is up and they now cross over to the next world. And inshallah, you know, if they lived a righteous life or if they passed away in a good state, then that is good news for them. And that brings us to another aspect here. Our religion gives us a lot of hope in these situations. You know, when there's a lot of people who passed away in a difficult manner, our religion gives us a lot of optimism. And one of the ways that our religion is optimistic about these things is that these kind of deaths are considered a type of martyrdom. They are considered a type of martyrdom. Meaning, if someone passed away in an earthquake or a flood or a tsunami or anything of this nature, while they were believers, then inshallah, all of their sins are forgiven. And enduring that in this world was enough to make up for their sins. Enduring that, dealing with that in this world and passing away in that kind of calamity would be enough to make up for all of their sins so they can go to Jannah. So think optimistic, think husnuzan billah, that Allah wanted to forgive so many people and take them straight to Jannah. That's what Allah wants for them. And that brings me to another point. A lot of people, they jump onto this, you know, this judgmental bandwagon. That whenever something like this happens, they say Allah is punishing them. This is not an appropriate statement for a Muslim to make. Because you do not know the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are talking about the unseen. Rather, when something bad happens to us in this world, it could be a punishment to us, for our sins. It could be a means of bringing us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be a means of forgiveness for our sins, right? It could be a test to elevate our status. It can be any of these things. So we can't just pick one of these things and ignore the others. That sometimes to feel good about ourselves, we want to put entire other nations down. You know, that you hear people saying that Allah is punishing them and not us because they were a bad nation. No, a Muslim should never speak like this. This kind of language is not befitting the believer. Do not judge the intentions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather have husnul zan. Rather have good thoughts about Allah. Say Allah is taking some martyrs towards Him. Allah wanted to forgive their sins, that's why He took them in this way. Allah wants to elevate their status and make them awliya, that's why He's testing them with this. Think good about Allah, don't think negatively about Allah. So we shouldn't jump to the idea that this is a punishment. Rather, this is a way for Allah to elevate the status of people. Another lesson that we can take from this is that we need to always be prepared for the fact that life could change at any moment. We should never become so caught up in the comforts of life that when the tests come, we can't handle it. You know, some of the early Muslims used to purposely put themselves in some kind of minor inconvenience. Why? So they don't get too comfortable in this world. And even from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for example, he would sleep on a rough mattress. And when one of his wives wanted to get him a softer bed, he got angry and he said, "Don't give me the softer beds because I end up missing tahajjud, having such a comfortable sleep." That he wanted to have enough difficulty in his life to keep his worship strong. That he would sacrifice the comfort of a good bed because tahajjud was more important to him. And so this becomes a practice of the righteous throughout history, that they would do these little things to make sure they don't get too comfortable in this world. Little things. So for example, you know, some of the ulama had this practice that they would walk around barefoot. Why? Because they didn't want to have this luxury where if something had to happen in the future, they can't handle the slightest bit of pain. And they felt by walking around barefoot, if they step on stones and they get hurt, their body's used to toughness, it's used to roughness. So no matter how wealthy they got, they always had some kind of practice there to keep them from getting too soft. And so as Muslims, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for the fact that sometimes Allah will test us with good and sometimes He will test us with hardships. And how would we react in a time of hardship? This is what we need to ask ourselves. That if we were in that situation, what thoughts will go through our mind? What words will come on our tongue? How would we react? What would we do for others? This is the test for every believer. The reaction in the moment. That sabr is at the immediate moment. Other benefits that we can take from these kind of reflections is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this world such that for us to appreciate good things, we have to also experience bad things. We cannot know what a hero is if there's no circumstances for someone to become a hero. But when you have a circumstance that is scary and dangerous and tragic, and people go in and they help others and they save others, this was Allah giving them that chance to earn that reward. So we can't appreciate good without a bit of harm. So Allah gives us both in this world. And finally, very important message for all of us to remember is that a life of eternal happiness is in Jannah alone. Until we get to Jannah, we should expect tests. We should expect trials. We should expect that life will go through ups and downs. There'll be good times, there'll be bad times, there'll be a mixture of both. Our job is to make shukr in the good times and sabr with the difficult times. And if we keep doing this, then inshallah, no matter what we go through in life, we will attain Jannah. We ask Allah to guide us and to allow us to understand things in a way that is pleasing to Him. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has warned us in several hadith that towards the end of time, earthquakes will become more frequent. That this is a sign of the Day of Judgment. That as you get closer to Qiyamah, there will be more earthquakes in the world. And so when these things happen, we need to ask ourselves that important question. What have we prepared for the Day of Judgment? Once a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, "Mata sa'a?" When is the hour? When is the Day of Judgment? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam simply replied, "What have you prepared for it?" What have you prepared for it? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. That when we see signs of the Day of Judgment happening, when we see signs that we could pass away at any moment, what are we preparing? What deeds have we prepared? Understand that when we leave this world, only three things are going to benefit us, right? Our iman, our sincerity, and our good deeds. Are we preparing these things? Is our iman strong? Are we doing things solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And have we prepared good deeds that will continue to benefit us in the afterlife? And from the good deeds that can outlive us and continue to benefit us after we pass away, there are three that are most important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you pass away, all of your deeds come to an end except three. The charity that continues to benefit people, the knowledge that continues to benefit people, and your descendants that continue to make dua for you. Are we investing in these three things? Are we setting up sources of charity that will continue to benefit this ummah for generations? Are we setting up sources of knowledge that will continue to benefit this ummah for generations? And are we having children and grandchildren and growing our family and raising them to be righteous people so they make dua for us after we pass away? Because these are your three sources of continuous reward after you move on. When these kind of calamities happen, it is not just a test for the people there, but it's a test for others as well. And the test we face is, how are we going to react? Are we going to reach out? Are we going to try and help people? Are we going to be generous? Are we going to care for our Muslim brothers and sisters? Or will we remain in ignorance, just focused on ourselves and our wealth and our luxuries, completely ignoring the fact that on the other end of the Muslim world, there are people under rubble asking for help? So at times like this, it is a test to our generosity. And every single one of us should be doing what we can. We should be donating financially if we can. We should volunteer our time and go up there and help them if we can. And at the very least, if you can't do anything else, are we making dua for them? Are we making dua for the people in Turkey and Syria and all these other lands and what they are going through? Are we raising our hands and asking Allah to grant them ease? To grant Jannah and martyrdom to those who passed away? To grant the orphans, you know, a good home? Are we making these du'as? So a final message to everyone on this topic is to be generous in donating towards these campaigns to help the people out in those areas. And if you cannot help them financially, at least make du'a for them. And either way, we all should be making du'a for them. And we will end this khutbah, inshallah, with a brief du'a for the people of Turkey and Syria. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabi al-kareem. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. O Allah, assist the people of Turkey and Syria and all of the other Muslim lands, anywhere where Muslims are going through trials. O Allah, those who have lost their lives in these calamities, grant them Jannah and grant them martyrdom. And those who have lost their families, replace what they lost with that which is better for them. Those who are orphaned in this tragedy, grant them good homes and good lives, and that makes up for what they have lost. Those who have lost their properties, grant them better properties. Those who have lost their income, grant them better sources of income. Those who are injured, grant them full healing. Those who are going through any kind of trial and difficulty anywhere in the Muslim world, O Allah, grant them a way out and grant them ease. O Allah, open our hearts to be generous and to be kind and to be loving and to be from those who care about the ummah and who assist the ummah and restore the dignity of this ummah and make us an ummah who care about each other and love each other and are there for each other. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Aqimish salah.